invite people to grab seats and finish those fascinating conversations. And we need to start the transcript, please. Whatever it was that I needed to start.
Did you hear what Leslie said?
Thank you. Recording now started.
Okay, greetings everybody. This is the joint meeting of the GNSO and the CCNSO Council, in case you wondered what it was you were coming for, apart from lunch. We have a agreed agenda that we've constructed beforehand, and we're starting off, I believe, with a conversation around the participation of CCNSO members or CCTRD managers in the GNSO Consumer Metrics Working Group. And I have to say that the CCNSO probably don't know a great deal about the Consumer Metrics Working Group, so we would like to understand really from this the current status of this working group and how it might be best for us to participate or become connected with this work. Stefan.
Hello, everyone. Sorry, finishing my mouthful there. Welcome to the CCNSO. Welcome back to the GNSO Council. So perhaps I can start on the topic you've just mentioned, Leslie, by just giving you a very quick update. Unfortunately, the person that's taken the lead GNSO Council's side on the consumer metrics issue is not at this meeting, not physically present, and because of the time difference, it's difficult for her to participate. So I have a very short update that I can provide on where we are, not in terms of the work that's going on, but how the group is functioning. So Rosemary Sinclair, who's a GNSO councillor, has been leading this effort from our side, and she has been appointed by the group as chair of that group. We have also put out a call for appointments for council liaison to the group, and so far we have a volunteer to do that. We are waiting to see if anyone else wants to volunteer or if there's any opposition to that that person volunteering. But so we're looking in good shape in terms of the actual group working. And the group has a workshop scheduled. Apologies if you want to go and participate. It's early on Thursday morning from 7 till 8:30 a.m. I mean, who works this schedule? But there's a workshop organized on the group at that time if you want to learn more. And the group has now the group has completed its charter and has a charter ready and has asked me as council chair to advise the GAC of the charter as well. So the status of the group at the moment is that. And if you do have questions on the way the group is actually working, please let me know. And if I can't answer them, I'll write them down and try and get answers from Rosemary as soon as I can.
So the function of the group is to what? So the function of the group, the origins of the group, and what you would be looking for from CCTRD managers would be helpful.
Sorry, I should have started there. So the group was created by a council board resolution. And if you give me 5 minutes to sort my notes out, I'll tell you when that resolution came through. That's it. My memory's gone. Cartagena. So the board asked the GNSO Council to have a look at this issue of competition, consumer trust, and consumer choice in the context of the new GTLD program. And in response to that, the GNSO Council worked on identifying what the exact request was, and there was informal discussion between the council and the board on exactly that, so that we could determine exactly what the question that we were being asked was. Following that discussion, and this was led by Rosemary Sinclair, following that discussion, the group formed a drafting team to draft a charter, and we are now ready to go to the working group phase. And
So I think the group's already started.
Yeah.
And not to put Steve Del Bianco on the spot, because he just walked in.
He's there.
Steve actually gave a presentation to the GNSO Council yesterday, 2 days ago, and they've started defining some of the terms of consumer and some of the other competition, trust, some of the other terms that are in there. And so given those definitions, they're now in the process of developing metrics. If I can maybe put Steve on the spot a little bit, the question that Leslie asked is, what are we looking for from CCTLD managers, and how can they participate?
Thanks, Jeff. And Leslie, as you know, the board resolution asked for advice from all four ACSOs. And ALAC and GNSO have been working pretty diligently for 3 or 4 months. We have a set of draft definitions along with a list of metrics attached to each one. We're going to be presenting that same thing we did Saturday on Wednesday at 1 o'clock here. And that will be a session where we'll run through that presentation and start to bring in a broader community input on that. And you should know that on Saturday's discussion here at GNSO, several counselors asked right away, in the metrics we're collecting for the GTLD space, we ought to be bringing in other metrics that measure follow-on effects that occur in the registrations and queries in the CC domain space. The attention generated to the new GTLD program by the launch of all the TLDs will undoubtedly bring registrants to not only pick up the new GTLD in .bike or .bank, but they may pick up a CC or two, hopefully some IDNs, and we'd love to be able to measure that registration activity and the query activity, both before and after the GTLD program, as indicative of an increase in consumer choice. It's a separate question whether we also would want to measure any consumer trust impact on the CC side. I don't think we would. It's not really the part of the affirmation of commitments or the charter.
Thanks, Steve. And I have a question from John, or a comment from John Barad online. John?
Thank you, Stefan. Am I coming through?
You are. Please go ahead.
Thank you. So I have recently been appointed the GNSO Council liaison to this work group. I have been participating in its activities, and it is a work group created by the GNSO Council, but it has been encouraging the participation of as many members of the community as possible, because the original motion passed in Cartagena asked for advice from before AC's SOs. And more than encouraging the CCNSO to participate in our modest effort, I would like to get a sense of what the CCNSO has done to this point on whatever parallel path it's been on to respond to the board resolution from Cartagena.
Okay, thank you. So to respond to that, this isn't a current line of activity in the CCNSO at all, though obviously individual CC managers will have their own metrics and views on the issue, I'm sure. Can I get some sense from CCNSO participants, members and non-members, whether there's an interest in this issue, whether we ought to bring this back to the meeting? Unfortunately, your Wednesday session clashes with the CCNSO meeting, so that would be difficult for us to attend. Anyone, any comments, please?
Yeah, to me, it's still a bit unclear what kind of metrics we're talking about and what the objectives are that we really want to obtain with them. So, as it is from the perspective, like we discussed, of getting an impression on how the new GTLDs add to choice, competition, and security and stability, that might.
I think there's a bit of confusion here on the CCNO's part, and given we won't be able to make the Wednesday session, perhaps we can task our secretariat with some liaison around when we could have an update, whether that can be shared online post this meeting. Then we can have a more informed discussion. That would be great.
And just to clarify that, as you know, the schedule's been moved around a lot, so unfortunately fortunately I suppose, but, that session has been moved to a more civilised time on Wednesday from 1 till 2, which is when you're meeting, unfortunately. Steve has offered to come over and do a briefing if CCNSO's.
We have an agenda that was issued in September, so we might be a bit tight for space, Steve, but let's connect about how we can best share. Shall we move on? Okay. So the next item on our agenda was an update regarding the CCNSO Finance Working Group. You will recall that the CCNSO has taken a great interest in ICANN finances and financial reporting, and also the link between the budget and the strategic plan. So we've done quite a bit of work in this area. And colleagues who were at the Singapore meeting will recall some criticism of the maths on the budget that we alerted you to. Thankfully, ICANN has a new CFO who we've been able to meet with this week, and Byron, as chair of that working group, will provide an update, subject to background noise and a very bad cough. Thank you.
Yes, I'll apologize in advance for any coughing. So the finance working group has really started in May of this past spring. And in the intervening time, particularly since the Singapore meeting until now, the work of this work group has been divided into two tracks. One is really looking at possible financial contribution models. Today we have a banding model, but it's been a review of the possible contribution models that CCs could use in their contributions to ICANN. The work has been divided into various sub-teams, and we've done preliminary reviews on 9 different contribution models, benefits-based models, different types of banding models, direct contribution models, etc., reviewing what would be appropriate, what would fit the circumstance, being non-contracted parties with differing environments in every country, with the goal that we will try to winnow those down to what is most appropriate going forward for the CCs. That's one primary track. The other primary track is actually looking at ICANN's finances in some detail and reviewing them in terms of costs and asking the fundamental question, what do the CCs actually cost ICANN? I don't think there's too much debate about the CC's feeling that we should pay some freight. The question is how much freight and how do you support that number? And that's where we've started to really peel back the covers on ICANN finances. And in working with the Strategic and Operational Planning Working Group, we're both addressing that question from different perspectives. So we've done a pretty deep dive. Clearly what we've found is we probably don't have the detail from ICANN yet. And in fact, we await even mid-level detail financial reporting from them. The idea was they were supposed to be able to provide some over this intervening period since the Singapore meeting. We're still waiting for any meaningful data on that front. We have had the opportunity to meet with Xavier, the new CFO, at some length, and I think we are certainly encouraged by his background and his technical expertise. He's sounding the right notes. However, we still don't have the data, and we await that. Unfortunately, these two tracks do need to work in parallel, because in order to properly review the contribution models, you need to apply the numbers to them and see what happens. Without the detail and the numbers from ICANN, it's very difficult to do that in any meaningful way. Further, for those of you who've been around, you probably remember the history from Wellington, from the Wellington era, that we've been down this path before, where we reviewed models, never got the financial detail, and kind of stalled. So we've made it very clear to ICANN that they need to ramp up the ability to produce the kind of reporting required, and that we will have to slow down on the policy and model reviews track while they get their act together on producing the numbers. Like I say, the good news is Xavier's technical ability looks strong from a CFO perspective. He, in short order, has been pretty clear on identifying some challenges that they're working on in terms of system and process reporting ability, but is not in a position at this time to provide dates. So needless to say, the first question we ask is, okay, you can't do it now. When can you do it? And we await that information as well. So I think the long and the short of it is a lot of good work to start on the policy model side has been done. It was one of the main sessions in our meetings in the next couple of days. We will continue to do work, but of course, until we get the numbers side, we will have to start to ratchet down the effort on the model side. So that's where we stand right now.
Thanks. Are there any questions?
I didn't quite understand the claim of the CFO or of ICANN. They don't have the numbers, or they didn't have the time to collect the numbers.
Well, I certainly wouldn't want to speak on behalf of ICANN or the new CFO, so I won't. But my perception was they are somewhat challenged in providing the reporting on the financial numbers at the kind of detail or the kind of slices that we would need to see to be able to do any kind of cost accounting analysis.
Perhaps I can ask a question on how this topic first came up between the two SOs in Singapore, if I remember correctly, and the GNSO was impressed there with the work that you've already done in analyzing the op plan and the budget. And that started both SOs down the line of what can we do to work together on this. Now, I think it's fair to say that we've probably been too busy with other things to really constructively work with the CCNSO on this since then. You've obviously, from what you've just said, done a lot more work since then. What's your sense now of how we could work together, both SOs, on these issues? Because what you've just told us is, in a way, very specific to the CCNSO, and obviously the way that your members will provide funds to ICANN in a way that's very different to the way that our members can sometimes do so, and also the fact that some of our members don't do so. So the initial take on this was that you'd identified some problems. We thought that was great work, and how could we work together to make sure that the problems that you'd identified didn't go unnoticed, and how could we, look into the future, benefit, both SOs benefit from that?
The working group that I chair is a finance working group, which is really specific to the CC community about our contributions into ICANN. I think where the real work, the joint or some kind of work together can be done is in Roloff's committee, which is the Strategic and Operational Planning Committee. And we work very closely. I mean, they're looking more forward and budget, and we're looking at the accounting for that budget and what do we contribute. So we work tightly together, but I would suggest, without putting Roloff on the spot, that that's probably where any kind of real joint work could take place. Or would be done to best effect.
Nice try, Olaf. That was not on purpose. Well, in answer to your question, how can we further collaborate on this particular subject, the operational plan and the strategic plan? I think, well, there are two options. We can either really do some work together, so have some joint sessions. I'm quite open to that. Or we can exchange the results of the work we do. And the first next opportunity would be that our comments that we have on the first draft of the coming strategic plan, the 2012-2015 strategic plan, that we'll provide them to you as well.
I mean, I think we could certainly be very willing to share the methodology, as it were, because inevitably we will be looking at the strategic plan from a CC viewpoint. And I would very much assume that you would each bring your particular viewpoints to that examination of the strategic plan. But we have a methodology, and I think one of the most important things was about finding the appropriate space and the appropriate people within the CCNSO to work through the issues. And I think that's been one of the key things that's enabled us to have input on the strategic plan and also to have that input taken into account, because I think we realised some years ago that it's all very well and good complaining about what's being done at a particular point in time, but if you haven't contributed at the stage when those ideas were formed, then it's rather difficult to critique years ahead. So we took that as an opportunity for our community to get involved in the strategic plan itself, so that we could influence and have some CC inputs into that plan.
Thanks. Well, I know you have a question. Can I just ask a practical question before that? Do you have someone that works on your agenda for ICANN meetings that is tasked with doing that? Because what I'm thinking is, if we look at joint sessions, then we have someone that... Okay.
That's item number 5 on our joint agenda.
Cool. Thank you, Wolf. Rick Holmes speaking. The last time I welcomed the offer as well to cooperate or to find a level of cooperation in this area, and I'm still impressed, you know, of your what you have achieved so far. However, as you know, it might need some discussion also on GNSO level, I would say, since we are organized in that manner, in the stakeholder group and constituency way, and we started as well, for example, from the commercial stakeholder group, also to establish a working group internally, looking at the budget and the financial issues. I am sure the other stakeholder groups do the same and or have already established these things. So we are looking from slightly different perspectives to that point, and we have to discuss it. I would suggest it to Stefan to discuss it on GNSO level, how to cope with that we could then on the GNSO level come to a cooperation or a discussion on these items further on. Thank you.
Thanks, Stefan. I just wanted to suggest another way we could probably work together even sooner. I know that the CCNSO is looking for more detail from a financial point of view related to CC expenses. But we've been doing the same thing for years with regard to the GNSO, and I would just like to suggest, Stefan, that we also in the GNSO join them in requesting for that additional detail, again, similar to what they're asking related to GTLDs, because it's a common need, one that's been expressed for years, and there was some pretty good progress in increased detail a few years back for several years, and then it kind of dried up, and there's been no improvements in the last couple years. So I would encourage the GNSO to join with the CCNSO in asking the CFO for additional detail with regard to GNSO expenses.
Yeah. Just two comments. One very quick way to get ramped up is all of the comments on the Strat and Ops plan are available, that we have made as the CC community, are all available for all to see. So you can read them for yourselves. They've done a great job in that working group, so you can clearly get an idea about where the dollars are flowing and the concerns that we see. And then, of course, the other side, which Leslie mentioned, the proactive positive, where do we think they should go from the CC community? So all of those documents are available to read. And I would also strongly encourage the comments that Chuck just made. I mean, we have been making a lot of comments about this issue from the CC community, but if we could triangulate it from other communities, I think that would be exceptionally helpful for all of us.
But just to be constructive, we had a very good meeting with the new CFO. ICANN has been without a CFO for some considerable time, and he clearly has a task on his hand, not least of which is the introduction of a new financial system. And one of the aims of that new financial system, I am told, is to enable better reporting to the board, to the management team, and also to the community. So I'm sure if he were here, he would ask for some space to do that. I think he's survived a few weeks so far. So we don't want him to leave just yet.
Thank you. Any further questions on this? We'll move to the next agenda item then. Do you want to...
Yeah, can do. Okay, so agenda item number 3 was what's known as a cross-TLD registration scam, which was a suggestion from the GNSO for the agenda, where it's my understanding you were talking about a deceptive sales practice where an existing registrant is sent a notice or rung up that another party is interested in or attempting to register the registrant's domain name in another TLD. And I understand you have or you will be discussing that on the GNSO. And there was a discussion as to see whether this was something you might have in common with CCTLDs. And it will be no surprise that, yes, indeed, it is something that we have some experience of. Peter?
Hi, my name is Peter van Rosse from Centre. Within Centre, and more particularly within the Centre Legal Working Group, we've come across this issue for some time now, and some members have addressed it, some with success, some still lacking success. I think Nominet is a good example of the former type of member, where they had a successful court case ended quite recently, I guess. So happy to throw that into the discussion if we can help and contribute with that. We've always linked it to some of the other scams that have been going on. The people behind them are quite often one and the same. So it might be useful to maybe look at it from a slightly broader scope, but I'm happy to contribute at any time.
From one of our fellow councillors, we got part of the report that deals with this particular subject, and it raised a question with me, because within .nl we've had similar experiences, but research that we did into those events always led to the conclusion that if the approached .nl registrant did not register, so did not accept the proposal and did not register his same domain name under the other TLD, that it was never registered. So the scam was, there was no point in exchanging information between the two registries, because there's never going to be an attempt. There was no other client who wanted to register the same name in another TLD. I don't know if you have the same. Do I make myself clear? Because the scam is a registrant of an existing domain name under .nl gets a phone call and says, listen, there's somebody who wants to register your domain name in .eu. It was always .eu. And you have to act quickly. It costs you 200 euros and we'll do it for you. Of course, when they say, yes, please, they pay 200 euros, they have the domain. But if they say, no, thank you, and you check 2 days later, that domain was never registered under .eu. So there was no other client. The scam started there already. And there was no point there in exchanging information with URID on it. So I don't know if you have the same experience or that you really see that there is.
So I'm not going to answer your question directly, but just to remind the CCNSO that we had a working group looking at registration abuse. One of the things that it looked at was this issue of cross-TLD registration scamming. There was the group provided a final report to the council, and in that final report, one of the recommendations to do with this was that even though the issue warrants review, there was not enough data at the time to start a formal process on this. So that suggests that although the group looked at these issues, the problem that you encountered, that you've just told us about, was probably linked to the problems that they found of not having enough data to be able to actually start something. Perhaps it's a type of, and I don't want to speak for the working group. The working group no longer, it's produced its final report. So, perhaps that type of scam is something that once the person, as you've just mentioned, that's put forward the offer of cross-registration has disappeared, you can't trace that anymore.
So if I can just add some information around the Nominet court case that was quite a few years ago, actually, though not recent. But that there weren't any registrations ever made in those cases either. There was no intent to actually make a registration at all, but to receive the money was nice. So it was dealt with by both our consumer enforcement authorities, and as a registry we were able to take action because they had abused our database. So that was there were two kind of avenues of action. But there were no registrations ever. That wasn't the point.
This is probably broadening it a little bit, but we have an organization called DROC in Canada, who is well known, I think, for abusive marketing practices, let's say. And unfortunately, they're actually based out of Canada, too, even though they do their dirty work all over the world. And they were a registrar of CIRA, or .ca, and we took action against them this past year. It's in the public record. We threw them out. They sued us for a considerable sum, and we've gone to court. But basically, we did take action against them, and we have removed them from the official registrar group in Canada. So it's certainly possible to do, and I think it's incumbent upon us to take those sorts of actions to prevent the kind of practices that we're talking about here today. And when you shine the harsh light of day on their practices, they do not stand up well in court.
Any further comments or questions on that one?
Yes, I have a question online from Yoav.
Yes, I just wanted to add kind of the same thing from our experience as brand protection registrar. We've been getting from many of our customers this kind of notices that they were getting mainly by email. It was mainly from different people every time, coming from usually from Hong Kong or somewhere around. Every time they use a different name, a different organization name, and we had the same experience that the domain names were never registered. Afterwards, the main thing that we did was educating the public, educating our customers. We did some PR also about it, so people will know that it's there. But practically, we didn't find any way, any different other way to fight it. And in most cases, they were addressing different CCTLD, CCTLDs like .cn, like .tw, but also sometimes also GTLDs in their emails. So, but it was never the same. Each one that we've seen was really different from the other.
Thanks, Yoav. Any further comments? Okay. So let's move to the next issue, Jeff. I think you're taking this one.
Thanks. This is Jeff Newman with the Registry Stakeholder Group. I had asked for this topic to be put on the agenda. We have an issue that we're working with the GAC relating to a proposal sent over from the GAC to the GNSO on the protection of Olympic and Red Cross trademarks in the new GTLD process. This was as a result of a resolution at the last ICANN meeting in Singapore. We're looking for ways in which we can coordinate or collaborate with the GAC, and we understand that the GAC actually, or members of the GAC, individual representatives from the GAC, serve on some of your working groups in at least some capacity. We had been previously been led to believe that the GAC doesn't generally participate in working groups, and so if we could just get a discussion on how they participate in some of your activities, I think that will help us to suggest ways forward with the GAC and some of our groups. So if there's anyone that could address that, that'd be great.
Good afternoon. To answer your question, I think what I will present is two models the CCNSO is currently using to engage the GAC in its activities. There are more ways, but they show the diversity or from participation. So one is a very, very structured way. That's what we, in the CCNSO, what is called the Framework of Interpretation Working Group, and that's modelled and structured as the IDNC working group was in the past that came up with the fast-track idea. So it was, say, the participation of the GAC is already envisioned in the charter. So before the discussion starts on the charter, there is a sounding of the board, of the GAC, whether they want to participate in such a working group, and there are different options foreseen in the charter already how they could participate. Now, in the case of the Framework of Interpretation Working Group, there is, in fact, full participation of the GAC. And this is reflected in a couple of ways. First of all, we have, I think, around 5 to 10 members of the Framework of Interpretation Working Group are individual GAC representatives. So they don't represent the GAC, they represent, they are government officials, and that's it, but they bring in a certain perspective. So that's the starting point from a working group. What we also done in that charter of the Framework of Interpretation Working Group is ensure that the GAC is informed in a timely manner, that is, through their participation, but also that whatever is the result of this Framework of Interpretation Working Group needs to be adopted and supported, or supported, and it's a matter of language, by both the CCNSO, that includes the members and the council, and the GAC. Only then the result becomes final. So that is one way of doing it. And that's the most structured way of doing it, and it depends very much on the topic. Say, in the Framework of Interpretation, for those who are not familiar with the lingo, that's about delegation and redelegations of CCTLDs and how to interpret the current policies regarding the delegation and redelegations. So from a GAC perspective, that is probably a very it's implicitly high on their agenda, because it deals with sovereignty issues, etc. So that's one way of doing it. Another example, which is almost at the other end of the spectrum, is study group on the use of country names. I think there is a GNSO observer on that working group as well. The GAC was involved in the initial discussions within the CCNSO on the new GTLD policy, but that's a long time ago. And say, as you are far more aware than we are, in the new GTLD applicant guidebook, say the use of country names are not permitted under the applicant guidebook for the first round. In order to move forward and to compare the policies, etc., the CCNSO invited the GAC at several instances, and finally there is one participant from the GAC with an interest. And that's probably the way, but that's a GAC internal matter, is how they want to participate. And we've been pushing this to get it on their agenda as an interest, and there is, from the history, there is interest in this topic as well, because you deal with, again, a very sensitive topic for government, which is country names and territory names. So these are the two. Say, if you look at the charter, the final bit of it from the study group, there is... This working group will only make recommendations to the CCNSO Council, but in the meantime, say, as a kind of progress report, we update the GAC constantly, or the GAC is updated constantly by the CCNSO at the joint meetings. That's more or less the two ways.
Thanks. So just to make sure I understood clearly that last bit of what you said, on that second example, there's an individual GAC member attending in his own personal capacity, but the GAC has not found it.
It's
yes. More than one, then.
Yeah, no, but that's the FOY.
Yeah.
That's the FOY working group. Now, this is that's the first example. That's the very structured one.
The second example that you gave.
The second example is there is in the GAC, there is an interest, but this person attended knowing she was representing a government as a GAC rep, but she's in no capacity representing the GAC as a whole, and that's the constant dialogue the CCNSO has with the GAC. In what capacity do you want the GAC in there? It's a bit like the discussion you had this morning about the metrics working group, whether you want the full CCNSO to participate or you want individual members to participate. Because, say, the thinking behind the second model is, if you have individual members, they will report back, and that's a way of informing the GAC as well.
I just wanted to put a little bit more context in this, because it's the GAC members in both of those, although actually not in the informal one, but in the more structured and formal undertaking, they are quite reluctant to, they're observers, they will answer some questions, but it really tends to be more that they're aware of our progress as we go on than that we're getting input from them as a, you know, context from the GAC. So I just want to make sure you understand what the role has been so far. I mean, we would like it to be more, but that's been our experience.
Thanks. That's useful. Any further comments or questions, please?
Paulus Nyenenda, I'm from Malawi. I think that on this issue, we, the CCDODs in the Africa region are currently struggling with a similar topic, which is the Africa name, .Africa, which seems to have also slipped through the cracks of protection. And I think you will hear during this meeting that African governments are agitating strongly for its protection. So we would be interested in learning how the progress on .Olympic and the other names has gone, and it's a primary interest to African CCDODs as well. I don't know how the two councils can relate to us or work with us on this as well, so that we can learn from the processes that you've already gone through. Thanks.
Thank you, Paulus. I guess we need to note that comment. I'm not sure if it's directly relevant to our agenda, but I think it's very important that people are aware of that issue. If that's okay with you? Thank you. Okay. Are there any more comments on this particular item? Okay. Move on to agenda item 5, which was nicely trailed earlier. So the CCNSO have been talking around how we can strengthen our meetings between GNSO and CCNSO, and we had some options for you. So the agenda is currently constructed through a sometimes last-minute chair's discussion, either by phone or via email. But we work differently with other groups in the community. So, for example, we have had sometimes joint agenda working groups, or we've had individual councillors volunteering to do that liaison work. And we'd like to invite the GNSO to consider maybe getting a couple of councillors involved in structuring an agenda so we can make the best use of our time and discuss things that are of interest to CCs as well as GNSO members during this time.
Thanks to the CCNSO for bringing this topic up. It's true that, our agendas for this type of meeting, our agendas have actually been built up in one of two ways. It has, for this meeting, I think, being an informal kind of last-minute dash because we've both been very busy with other things. But in the past, we have tended to see suggestions from both SOs. I don't know how the CCNSO does it, obviously, but the GNSO, during their weekend sessions, will discuss the agenda items that have been suggested, try and hone them, and make sure that any other aspects that we would like to discuss with you, we are able to, or try to identify any answers to questions that you've already asked. So we do try and work actively towards the preparation for these agendas. And also we, in the preparation for our overall ICANN meeting agenda, we assign someone that's generally someone from the council leadership team, so one of the two vice chairs, to overlook that agenda and make sure that it can be as effective as possible. So there is a person there that could easily interface with the CCNSO if you are able to accommodate that. Perhaps I can open that up to also the GNSO Council members here if they think that's a constructive approach.
We'd be ready and willing to accommodate that. In fact, we've already had two kind of volunteers from the CCNSO to take on that role. which is Roloff and Juhani, though I'm not sure he knows yet.
Any comments on these proposals? Tacit agreement. Okay.
Thank you very much.
So how do we proceed with it? Do we know who contacts who?
Not yet.
That goes through
so
the chairs?
We will. We don't have a rotation for who does the agenda. It's a volunteer-based system. I volunteer them. And so we will determine who will do the next agenda, and I will suggest to that person, or the person that's chairing the GNSO Council then will suggest to that person to contact the two people that on your side doing exactly the same thing.
It's good to see that we have at least common ground on the volunteering system.
I did know that about Leslie.
I did tell him before I was elected. Okay. Thank you for that. So the final item on our agenda was a follow-up discussion from previous discussions we have had around the idea of a cross-community working group. How we deal with working groups that cut across the SOs, and we wanted really to understand what are the issues and whether this is a high priority. It currently doesn't feel like a high priority from the CCNSO Council, in which case we have other things to do, but I think it is of interest to us.
So it is something that we've looked at, unfortunately, and this was not done on purpose, I assure you. The person that's overseeing this effort on the GNSO Council side has fallen ill today, Jonathan Robinson. So we briefly, very briefly, spoke this morning so that he could very quickly update me on what was going on. But obviously I'm not in a position to speak with as much depth as he could to this. It is we do have a team working on this, headed by Jonathan, and the council passed a motion at its previous teleconference on October the 6th on this issue of looking at the way that we could work on a proposed framework for handling cross-community working groups. So Jonathan's words to me this morning were the work is being done, it's going well, tell them everything's okay. I don't know if that's as much use to you as you'd like, but maybe Jamie can fill in.
This is Jamie Wagner. I'm a member of this working group. More a group than working until now, and we will have a meeting at Thursday, and it's open, and we have made a whole invite. Everybody is invited to join. We are mainly concerned with the chartering of these cross-community working groups. That's the main concern of this first effort, and we would like to welcome any members of other SOs. I think this the participation in this session, again, it will be Thursday in this very room, Salon Vert, 8:30.
Thanks, Jamie. Let me just add that the motion that the council passed approved a charter and set a set of objectives for the group's work. So Jamie's already mentioned that there'll be a workshop here, and the group is looking to deliver a report sometime next year to the GNSO Council. So the work is a working group rather than just a group. It is working.
So can I just ask a question for clarification? So the subject is about cross-community participation. Is there cross-community participation in the working group? Because I don't recall the CCNSO being invited to send a representative.
I don't know if there was a formal...
Can I get in the queue?
Yeah. Tim, we've got you in the queue. I'll get to you in a minute. Thanks.
Okay, can I? This is Jamie. And there was a general invitation from staff to other SOs, and that's what we were told, to participation in this working group. But it is a GNSO working group by this time. It's not a cross-community working group in itself. This is a GNSO working group on this theme, and there is an invitation to all the community to participate in a voluntary basis.
I have Tim next.
Yeah, and I just wanted to add to that it's not the GNSO's intention, at least my understanding, it's not our intention that we're going to figure this all out in a vacuum and then expect that to be the way things are. First of all, as Jamie said, as they always are, anyone from in the community is invited to participate in our working groups. But I think that Jonathan's intention is that as we get a better idea of where we are on the GNSO with some of these concepts and some of the issues that have come up, that then we begin to broaden the participation to start including the other SOs and ACs more fully, so that because we know we have to, as a community, come to agreement on how we're going to move forward with community working groups, and that's not something we're going to figure out in a vacuum completely.
Thanks, Tim. Alan.
Yeah, my recollection is, and maybe I've missed something, that this was a working group primarily to put together a GNSO perspective of how cross-constituency working groups should work and what the issues are, and the work product that they developed would then be presented to the other ACs and SOs. I believe that is what our charter said.
That is my recollection as well. To me, this was an internal working group to determine how the GNSO should, first of all, approach the topic and then share this with the other groups. But if there's been an open call for...
Well, certainly in my position, I'm not normally hesitant to participate in GNSO activities. I explicitly did not and didn't forward that to the to at large, because I thought this should be an internal GNSO thing of you fight out the issues that you believe are there, and then the rest of us will start talking about them.
Thanks. Jamie.
This is Tim. I think, though, that we never restrict our working groups. That's the whole point of the working group concept, was that they're open to all to participate. We might form grafting teams or other things, but when we form working groups, anyone in the community is invited to participate. At least that's my understanding.
Thanks, Tim. And Alan is nodding, saying that's what he said.
Yeah, that was a voluntary position on my part to not participate in this and let GNSO, true GNSO counselors, come up with a position first. Not that I felt I was restricted and wasn't going to allow to be.
Thank you.
So I'm very mindful of CCNSO workload, as I'm sure you are mindful of GNSO workload. If we can find a way of maybe an update at our next session, that would be really helpful and a good use of people's time, I suggest. At present, we have a... I'm sure your work plan's just as bad. We have a work plan that we're trying to get control of and prioritise. So it's quite difficult for us to offer volunteers to too many groups, unfortunately. But obviously it's very clear that at a certain point it's good value for us to engage when maybe some of the initial thinking has been done.
Can I? Certainly this group would benefit from any input from the community. So since I think this pertains to interest of everybody, but as Alan said, The first aim is to build a GNSO perspective, but I think we could benefit of the voluntary work. And sure, we will be able to give information as long as the process goes.
Thank you. Any further comments? Please.
Yes, Yalni.kr. I'm actually getting more confused after the comments. So is it open or is it not? If it is open, then maybe we should, even if we don't get engaged formally, maybe it would benefit us if we could at least sit in on during the Thursday meeting, send one or two people from the CC to the meeting. Or, I mean, is that what we should do, or is it...
May I respond? Definitely, it's open. It's open to open participation, but it is a working group that was chartered by GNSO. So since it was chartered, it is a formal group from GNSO open to participation of all community. But it was not chartered by CCNSO. So it's not, this group is not formally a cross-community working group in itself. But it's open, definitely.
Alan?
Okay, it sounds like you're saying this is not a cross-constituency working group where the ACs and SOs can debate issues and try to come to a compromise, but you will welcome input and insights from any other AC or SO that may want to participate. Under those conditions, I will try to make sure someone's at this week's meeting and future meetings.
Thank you. Any further comments?
Stefan?
Yes.
This is John.
Go on, John.
It strikes me in listening to this discussion that the CCNSO does not feel the same urgency that the GNSO feels on the subject of cross-community working groups, and that's totally understandable. But I think that the effort on the part of the GNSO Council is in fact due to not just a current urgency on this matter, but what we see as the community reorganizes itself, particularly as caused by the introduction of the new GTLDs and the new working relationships that community members will have, in which companies will become registries and registrars will become registries and all around, that there will be an increasing likelihood that that cross-community working groups will be valuable. And so the charter that we passed is to created a working group of the GNSO to scope out these issues. Alan is absolutely correct. At any time, any working group, anybody can participate, but our hope is that we will be able to create a framework by which we can officially and formally create the a way in which we can have cross-community working groups that deliver unified outputs that can help guide the board.
Thanks, John. Any further comments? Leslie?
Yeah. I guess our feeling around urgency is because we're already doing some cross-constituency working groups, for example, the FOI working group that we referred to earlier. But the comment just now from John raises the bigger issue, perhaps, is that as a community, it doesn't feel as though we've spent a great deal of time talking about post-GTLD structures. So whilst it might be opportune to look at cross-community working groups, there is a bigger conversation around the shape of the community and how we engage and develop policy post-vertical integration, new GTLDs. I wonder if we've missed an opportunity for that discussion.
Thanks, Leslie. angle. Anything further? In that case, as we've come to the end of our agenda, thank you all for your participation, and we look forward to seeing you again at all these open workshops that we've just mentioned. Thank you very much. Leslie, any further?
No, thank you.
Thank you. Operator, this session is now over. Thank you.